Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
With Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Welcome in Tuesday afternoon, a Dinger Tuesday here on the grid. We'll have some fun with that. It's Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh, Sirius XM channel 159. 2 hours to let it rip. And we got some pretty fun topics to talk about today. Even if we actually don't, Kevin, we'll make them fun.
Listen, we've always I'll give people a little pullback of the curtain. Why not? I always like to when I can. So yesterday, piecing together the show for this morning, different topics and whatnot. And I was like, man, we need something here. I need something a little juicy. It's like, you know what? I'll sneak Heisman odds in. Because there's one guy who I think you and I could probably spend about an hour on. Now, what happened is I remembered I wanted to do the top 10 quarterback thing on the morning show. So if at any point we want, I have an emergency break glass Heisman conversation, but honestly, we can do the whole thing, I don't care. On one guy, Donnie, that I think is maybe the most fascinating player in all of college football coming into this season.
Let me see the Heisman odds.
Yeah, go ahead. Take a look.
I already know.
You do.
I'm raiding Kevin's mind there. The guy that's not plus 200, not 400, not 600, 30-1. Actually, he is 30-1. Correct me wrong.
Yes,
TBD.
He
is. He's going after TBD.
No.
That's the only way to go. I knew you were finally coming over to my side, seeing Tyler Van Dimes out there, number one overall pick to the Philadelphia Eagles next year when they use three first
round picks.
There's
so much wrong there. No.
They put on a t-shirt.
Now, here's the thing, okay? And I know you're excited for TVD. But honestly, I'm talking about interest. You were right on track, 30-1. Who is the guy? Who is the guy that we spent a lot of last year talking about, and he's
what
back
happened
again?
To the guy?
Yes.
Uyunglele.
Come on.
What was he to start the season last year, by the way?
Was he the favorite?
He was up there. If he wasn't the favorite, he was top two.
The favorite was Rattler. Wow. You want to talk about a bad year to be a Heisman favorite, huh?
Yeah, it was bad.
So, but like DJU is 30-1. He was horrendous.
Did he throw under 10 touchdowns last year?
I'll pull it up.
He had some ridiculous. He had some numbers that didn't even make some sense. I'm telling you, it felt like it was under 10.
If you had to guess a number, what would it be? I would go like 13. As much as I'm going like,
going 9. I don't care. I want to believe it.
He threw. Oh my god! Shout out to the one and only Donnie Wright. 9 touchdowns.
Interceptions. I mean, come on. This guy started in the ACC on a high-octane offense and threw 9 touchdown passes. That's it. It doesn't make sense. You're talking about guys from Wake Forest, like, obliterate 9 touchdowns in a season. And he got 9 at Clemson?
Donnie, he threw 5 touchdowns. What, did he throw 4 against Notre Dame last year? Remember, or the 2 years ago? Remember that?
2 years ago. Yeah, the spot start at Notre Dame, yes.
Like, what are we doing here? I mean... Yeah.
One of those guys that, like if he could have came, let's just say he goes to school, plays that 1 year in that one game, he's the number one overall pick in the NFL. If he doesn't play again after that Notre Dame game, he's number one overall. And he's basically at this point, like, we don't even know if he's an NFL player, particularly a draftable player.
Like Trevor Lawrence, multiple 30-plus touchdown seasons, Watson through 41 year. And I know you might be like, oh, well, hold on a minute. Those are a couple of, you know, all-star level quarterbacks. Guys, that's what DJ was supposed to be better than the both of them coming out of, I think it was St. John's Bosco, whatever that is out there in California. Like, he was on that QB1 show.
Yes,
remember?
He was. He was on the QB1 show and wasn't actually the QB1.
Yes!
They were going after the other kid that went to Iowa State.
Rial.
And eventually, and then the Rial, I forget what his last name was, but he went to Temple after that. So he was like this, I just took this guy's job, and whoa, this guy looks like an absolute fullback playing quarterback with the legs of, or with the feet of, Mike Vick out here. It was ridiculous to watch. And all that hype going to Clemson, he is the successor. We will win a national championship again once Trevor Lawrence leaves. That was it.
Yeah. So for DJU, who ended up being the star of QB1, but they didn't even know he was at the school, to go to Clemson, filled in. Now, we never got takes so hot of should he keep the job. We never got takes that hot. But he was spectacular versus a Notre Dame team that went to the college football playoff, okay? Not just any Notre Dame team, went to the they scored 40-plus points. And that was a good Notre Dame defense. Go through that year, they scored more, Donnie, that game with DJU on Notre Dame than the Mac Jones, score a million points on every single team we play Alabama did in the college football playoff. How did this happen that he was not under-delivered. He was actively a bad quarterback. So that's what I bring it up, Donnie. What do you expect from DJU and Clemson this year? They have fourth best title odds.
Yeah, how do you just go with their fourth best title odds? Probably because he can throw another 9 touchdown passes and still win the ACC and get into the college football playoffs as they play it. But if you remember, was it opening week or was it Georgia versus Clemson where it's like, oh, he'll get it together. It's just a tough defense. And we should have actually been like, no, this is the real DJU. He can't play quarterback all that well. Now, having said that, he's talented. I don't know how that's why I came up, which it must have been seared into my brain, the 9 touchdowns, because how outrageous it was. Because I've been thought about DJU in months, but the 9 immediately came to mind here. Boy, in college football, something up quickly here. We're probably, 2 weeks away from camp starting in college? These start right around first week or so of August. And then here we go in the football season, but here we go into Moneyline on a Tuesday. Come on and get involved. It's Donnie and Kevin in the afternoon right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's go! Securing the bag here today on Moneyline. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been chomping at the bit, Kevin, for this show. When I say I'm chomping at the bit, I'm in here a half hour early getting busy, ready to go in the office. That's how I want to get down because we got Major League Baseball live right now on the docket. Chicago White Sox, Cleveland Guardians, Martin versus Bieber. Closed line here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, 168 and a total of 8. If I was a I did not bet this game, but the way I would have approached it was, I'm going first 5 innings run line here on the Cleveland Guardians. I just think that Bieber going head-to-head with Martin is the mismatch, and if I can't be up 1 run after 5, I miss the cap anyway.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. Martin actually wasn't bad if you were willing to get in on the strikeout market, but it's always tough, as I just kind of, sent out the tweet about the strikeout record. I appreciate you and Ben showing me some love on that, which adds a little pressure. You know how it goes kind of going into whatever kind of falls in the lap today. You want the first day to kind of provide the right results now.
Exactly. And trust me, it never does, but you'll be fine with what you're doing. So.
Yeah, but the one thing that is very consistent with the method that I use, kind of, very projection-based, is a lot of times it'll want me to go over when a guy is going up against a team that strikes out the least. And then wanting me to go over Davis Martin Kays against the Guardians. I was like, you know what, man? 1 o'clock start. Let me lay off and see how it goes. And I've done it before. I've gone against the Guardians. But I need a little more confidence, I think, Donnie, than Davis Martin. So I'll fully be cheering you on and hoping you get the right result here with Bieber by your side.
Yeah, I think it makes some sense here. And also, I mean, there's a couple games that I picked on today. We'll hit this entire card, but it's fun to just say, all right, Tuesday, dinger two, because I took the night off, didn't pick any home runs, went after a couple plays that I usually don't bet, and did fairly well. The only one I lost was an Aaron Nola minus 122 up against the Cardinals, where they had that 1-0 leading to the fifth, and then the bottom fell out. But I was very confident. It's not always nice to take down plus money price to erase those, you know, anything above a minus 110. So I hit the one on the Pittsburgh Pirates. And again, they're only half-unit wagers. It's not like I'm absolutely sweating over here, like, oh, my goodness, I can't sleep because I need to watch this come in. But also, first five innings under in that Mets-Atlanta game. And I talked about it while we were going over this morning's show in that second segment, and I said to myself, you know, there was two choices I wanted to make. I said I liked Atlanta yesterday. I would pay the minus 130 price on Max Fried. Okay, so I let that one sink in. And by midday when we were doing Moneyline, I'm like, you know what, man? Like, I don't even want to outsmart myself. They're two really good pitchers. Just use both of these pitchers to your advantage. And that was a 2-0 game after five innings easily. And also, it wasn't one of those where it's like, hey, 3.5 with two great pitchers, but you're going to pay like minus 140. It was minus 104. So it was a low-juice game. So I ended up making a decent little, you know, buck yesterday. A couple pizzas, a couple burgers, be able to go out on the town. But there's two pitchers today on this card today. And that's Oakland and Texas with Caprillion and Otto. And it's 8.5. I know how bad Oakland stinks at the plate. And even Texas sometimes does come up pretty lame. I had to go over. Like, I had to go over the 8.5. And I can't even quite figure out why it's 8.5 right now. Because both of the – hey, again, Caprillion, remember my last tweet? Man, what are you talking about? Caprillion hasn't even let up a run against, like, Toronto. Well, he's not at home in that ultimate pitcher's paradise. Let's see how he does today.
I like it. I know that Caprillion's a guy you target. And I think a guy like that, look – if he turned it around, so be it, right? But it's worth another go. It does remind me of something I wanted to mention to you, either on or off air. They list out the all-star teams, Donnie. And this might be the best example you will ever be able to give someone as to why you prefer not to bet April baseball for kind of serious dollars and record.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Blackburn was one of the worst starters in Major League Baseball. Last year, hot start to the beginning of the year, like, I don't know what this is. People probably losing money left and right, fading Blackburn. This guy is on the American League All-Star team, Paul Blackburn. I mean, Don, I know we don't have that as a mark, but imagine odds on Paul Blackburn making an All-Star team this year. You wouldn't even know what to do with yourself.
No, you wouldn't. And also, it's great that some of these topics just flow together. And I want to take your take on this. I understand that the All-Star game is... which it's changed a little bit now because back in the day it meant a lot, right? It was American League versus National League. They never played each other. It was cool to see the stars go head-to-head. And then it turned into, you know, the All-Star game where it means something. So winning team, which would be the AL, the NL, got that league's home field advantage. They took that away. So it's back to exhibition mode. But what is your take on Major League Baseball saying you have to have a player from every single team be represented? So even the teams that stink, like the Athletics, get like a Paul Blackburn there. I remember back in the day, like my Phillies were bad in the 90s. They would just send some random reliever to the All-Star game because it doesn't happen in every sport. Hockey doesn't do this. You know, you take a look at, NBA? There's not a player from every team on each NBA squad here. And again, it's back to exhibition mode, so technically it doesn't matter at all. But I would much rather see a game where it's like, okay, the all-star starters played like seven full innings because they are the superstars. And just because they try to fit you in, right? A reliever, like, hey, well, we got to make sure an eighth inning with one out, you get your pitch in there. Stop the madness. I mean, come on now. Nobody's watching because that reliever from a bum team is in the game.
It's so interesting because I'm so used to it, obviously, as everybody is. So I've never really batted an eye. Everybody gets an all-star, right? And I guess within Major League Baseball, again, the roster sizes are significantly bigger. So it allows for that opportunity where in the NBA, say they kept it still East-West, everybody gets an all-star. Well, you have to now expand your all-star rosters. And essentially, you wouldn't even have guys that would be able to be like multiple from the same team if you did it NBA style. So I think you're... look, at the crux of it, you're right, because being an all-star matters. And that's always kind of one of the difficult things, too, with sometimes this stuff here, Donnie, is in the NBA, they have the all-NBA teams. And in the NFL, they have the all-pro teams. Make a Pro Bowl, I don't care. You make an all-star game, it matters. But at the end of the day, that's only half of a season, right? Major League Baseball, do they really give out what would be a, you know, a final nine or something like that, where you say, listen, making the All-Star game's great. Sometimes you make it because your team's bad. Sometimes you're the fifth replacement. I mean, not even the All-Star game is supposed to be this all-important thing. There's a bunch of guys that aren't even going to play in it because they're not going to miss their starts. You know, like a Garrett Cole, it's already like, yeah, he's not going to the All-Star game. So that's just going to file in a new All-Star. Yeah. It's kind of Pro Bowl-esque.
Yeah, the pitchers are that way because you pitch on Sunday afternoon. You're not going three innings on, like, Tuesday night. So we know that goes a while. And also, it's always the Guardians manager is out there when the Guardians are good, and he makes Garrett Cole throw four innings in the All-Star game as sort of a, yeah, let's see if he can wear them out. There's some nonsense. There's always those conspiracy theories at that point. But it does get to that down there, and I don't know. I don't know what you do about it because pitchers obviously can't pitch all that much. And quite frankly, if you have your starting pitcher and he's humming in the regular season, do you really want him in an exhibition game? Like, and again, the chance of him getting hurt are really low, but it's still the appearance of, hey, this game doesn't mean anything. Why is my starting pitcher out there throwing 101 in the second inning? Can you please just get him out of there at that point here? So, you know, this is what it is in the All-Star game.
I will say, it's an interesting idea. Don, if I told you in the NBA, 15 slots, every team, East through West, gets one guy to make the All-Star game. And that's it. Everybody just is going to get one All-Star. Every single team will have representation. You know how in the NBA, the All-Star, like making an All-Star team can get you more money on your max contracts and like that?
Yeah.
Like, you think that would potentially, because, you know, I mean, there, I don't really care.
If they have the escalator clauses. Like this,
well, there's people who feel like there's still like all these super team problems. Like, imagine if basically it was like, look, one All-Star per team. All of a sudden, you have guys running away from one another, right? Like, Beal and Lillard would be the poster boys for what everybody would start to do to kind of, you know, look, I need my own team, so I'm the one making the All-Star game.
Yes, and that's, and I'm glad that doesn't happen, where it's like, hey, I made the All-Star team here, the sixth, you know, pitcher opting back in at that point here. I mean, come on, enough with the madness here.
Yeah.
As a double play here starts the, or ends the first inning. A Nerfy on the board to start the day. There's two hot topics I want to get to. Number one, Rob Gronkowski. Yeah, we don't believe what you're saying. And number two, ESPN double dips the top 10 running back list. Come find out what it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here on Moneyline Tuesday afternoon. Look at that. Some good topics coming up here. It's Donnie and Kevin right here on the grid. And there's two things that I did bring up. Number one is the top 10. Now, should we save that for a nice little segment tomorrow?
Well, we can hit it a little. If you, I mean, it's your call. Yeah. We can
do both.
We'll
hit the numbers. We'll hit the numbers because I saw it on TV. So I'm going to bring it up here in just a second. I'm pretty assuming that it's going to be on Twitter here for a running back top 10.
Because I'll tell you, there's two names I'm very interested in where they're going to land on this list. And one of them maybe won't land on the list. I'm very interested in where, and we will hit this tomorrow. I think it'll be good stuff. But
yeah, because I'm sure they're going to go for like wide receivers, DNs. So looks like ESPN's going to get some play out of this, which is great because that'll give us a chance to catch up. Now I can't even find. I'm putting ESPN running back top 10, and it's not coming up.
If you type in like top 10. Well, you know who? It's that guy Jeremy Fowler who keeps being the one who.
But usually
who runs
it gets like immediate like impact there, and I'm actually.
Let me see.
Top 10 NFL. So let's type that in.
Here we go.
Going down the rabbit hole here at this point.
Yeah, I got.
Where is the graphic at? Do you have the graphic?
Yeah, I don't have the graphic. Like, I just. Yeah. Well, I'm not signing into ESPN Plus.
Let me see. Let's go. ESPN. All right, there we go. Picking the NFL. Oh, it looks like it's a. Exclusive content, which again, I have the ESPN Plus. So I have the list here.
Yeah, so do I.
That'll go up. And by the way, also, I can't stand the fact when they do this. So scroll, I log in, and I can see the list here. But it's the scrolling list.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dear editors out there, first paragraph, give me all 10 in a row, 1 through 10 listed. And then if you want to break down 1 through 10, go ahead and do it. I shouldn't have to scroll paragraphs to see, like, 1, 2, and can't get them all on the same page. But that's for another day. So we'll get that
all
in just a second.
Here.
But let's get the other pressing news here in the NFL, which is the most –
Yeah, we will. But I just, wow. Okay. Go ahead.
At the list, all right.
Yeah, the list's crazy. Go ahead.
Rob Gronkowski. I'm going to quote, right? Told Mike Reese that even if Tom Brady called, he wouldn't change his mind. Quote, I would answer, obviously, the greatest quarterback of all time, ask him how he's doing, tell him I'm doing good, but I wouldn't go back to football, no. See, here's what it is. If Rob Gronkowski was there, and again, they have him in a picture there with sunglasses on, tank top. If he goes, hey, look, man, right now I'm burnt, which is just like every single year. I'm enjoying myself, but you guys know, right around November time, if the Buccaneers need me, they're playing well, we got another chance to ride it up. My best friend calls me on the phone. Hey, man, we got like $5 million for you to play like 8 games. Come on back, man. One more time with me. Let's ride again. Mm-hmm. You're telling him no. Stop it.
Yeah, the problem for Gronk is he's already retired. So, look, here's the truth of the matter. And I don't know if Gronk finds it annoying. Maybe he doesn't care. But you've already retired. So now I can't believe you. Gronk isn't retired until Brady is retired. And the tragedy for Gronk is Brady's already fake retired. So now Brady is on a one-year ban of until I take his retirement serious. So Basically, the earliest Gronk will be retired is like 2025. Too bad, Gronk. Here's the other thing with stuff like this, Donnie. I know he doesn't want to add fuel to the fire, but why not just say, look, man, I'm done, all right? I'm sure Tom will call me. I have every intention of saying no. It's not going to stop him. It is what it is. There's no way I'll do it. Wrong. That's not true.
Yeah, I mean.
But let me ask you this.
Rock.
Let me turn this to you.
Yeah.
Week 14, he comes back. You care? Mm-hmm. Do you care? Ooh, I gotta get some more Bucks futures. Is that moving the needle for you anymore, Gronk?
No, it depends, though. Like, if they're having just a great season, Gronk's coming along for the ride, or does your top two tight ends have crapped out this year or both injured, and Gronk actually makes a difference, like he can help your offense? Those are the two differences here. But no, it does. Moving the needle for me doesn't. If Gronk comes back and he's a somewhat healthy Gronk, that helps that football team because those guys work, I mean, they are 1-2 out there. Like, I know where you're going. You're going to be open. I'll get your touchdowns. We've seen it in the biggest moments, in the biggest games. It does help them, but does it move the needle like, whoa, Gronk's back? No, it doesn't.
Yeah, I actually think you kind of give the perfect breakdown is that Gronk, and very few are, Gronk isn't a line mover. Skill position players that move lines, roughly, not listing names, there's no more than 10, I would probably assume, right? That are really impacting a line at the skill positions there? The cap sounds about... Gronk isn't in that list. But Gronk, if all of a sudden I threw him on the Bucs, he'd be 200 or less to score a touchdown.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So he'd matter.
Yeah.
He would matter to the football team.
Yes, when he comes back, like you're looking right away, like that any touchdown market, it's always going to be Gronk because you know he's going to be angling to get him on there. Why not, man?
Yeah.
I mean, Gronk, anytime touchdown, get after it. By the way, some other football news around here. Sad day for the Panthers as they wave Davis Cheek, backup quarterback here. The one guy that we thought might have been in. Remember that? Like, hey, man, look at that quarterback room with Davis Cheek, P.J. Tucker, and Sam Darnold. Can you imagine that? At least they came to their senses and go, we understand we actually need a decent quarterback in here that can provide something if we could put somebody into the game who's, you know, not above average or entrenched as a starter. I mean, come on now. Which, again, looks at Seattle. Like, I see Davis Cheek. It's way like, hey, we woke up and got a real quarterback. We can let some of these guys go.
One thing I love is that somehow P.J. Walker is giving you the beats despite being a Philly guy and knowing everything about him and always listing him as P.J. Tucker. It's a very bizarre thing to me, and I don't know why that's been going on for like 2 years now. But it is what it is. Davis Cheek, who knows? But, is this part? Hold on a minute. Is this the wildly, horribly spent quarterback room that should be costing Matt Rhule his job?
Oh, man. I'm telling you. Like, how come we haven't gotten that tweet yet? This tweet from Pro Football Talk's been out there for 7 minutes, and I'm just waiting for somebody to come over the top and list. There goes another undrafted rookie that got waived in the quarterback room. Boo-hoo.
Yeah. I mean, please. Like, it is what it is. It is hardly a big deal. I'm not – but for the Panthers, like – you know, Baker's already talking like, yes, I of course have my eye week one on the Browns. Is there anything to, Donnie, you're not too far removed from the locker room, I put it nicely. Is there any benefit to pretending Darnold is live? In the, does it keep fire under Baker? Is it respecting Sam Darnold? What's the benefit to pretending that Baker isn't already clearly the starter for this job?
I guess from a team standpoint, you always like to have the knowledge of, because if you're, you know, right, we're being removed out of the locker room for myself. The adage of every job is up on the line sort of gives that competitive edge across the board. When I used to roll my eyes at that point, like, okay, my job's up for grabs. I get you, coach. I'll work hard tomorrow. When you know it's not. But you just can't say, we just got Baker Mayfield. We don't really know anything about him. Starters, number ones, get out there, and it's Baker, like, day one. Now, there's two things there, which means, like, Baker is entrenched, he's ready to go, and maybe that sends a signal. But typically, like, let's just say over the year, like, hey, Sam Darnold's a good locker room guy. He works really hard. Day one, Baker Mayfield, where you don't know. The only thing you know about him is he's in a lot of commercials, and he's, you know, saying stupid things at the microphone. Oh, look at this. This guy's already our starter here. Oh, boy, coach, way to go. But you'll know right away. You know, it starts out 50-50, 60-40, 70-30, 80-20, and then 3 weeks before the season, Baker's our guy, and it gets put to bed. You just, as a head coach, you just have to play that game, I think.
Yeah, it makes sense. Now, since we're going to try and hold off on the running back thing, I'll sneak this in quickly. There is nothing worse, because it's literally just hit my phone. Honestly, there is nothing worse than the retroactive NBA scout trying to swing an I told you so. Listen to this crap. I can't even call it anything other than that.
Ooh.
Some NBA scouts felt number 4 pick Keegan Murray was actually the number 2 player in this year's draft. Nonsense, Don.
I did. I thought
nonsense. No, you thought he was the 5th, remember?
Yep, Don. I backed him and it didn't work out.
Don, like, come on with that nonsense here now. Really? Like, I get it. He's looked good in his summer league games.
Yes.
Good for the Sacramento Kings. Donnie, they were laughed at on draft night for selecting him over Jaden Ivey.
They were.
Laughed at for that selection. Will you please? And these guys are trying to do cleanup duty over here.
Where's the stamp on it? There is draft night where they're like, you know what? This guy can play. He went 4th. He should have went 2nd. They'll remember this day. They didn't draft him. There's none of that out there, is there?
And here's the thing about that, too, right? Which scouts, right? Is it like Orlando Magic scouts who are basically like, yeah, we got our guy. But if not, we actually were in on Keegan. Yeah. Is it, you know, Indiana Pacers scouts? Is it like, just like, is it like Laker and Knicks scouts, guys that weren't even like in the mix, just like trying to, I don't know, what make Sacramento feel like? Also, I like that it says top 2 players. Well, who was 1 for all these guys? Paolo, Chet, Jabari? Like,
let you know who wins the rookie of the year. Like, man, I told you I had it all along. We had this thing all along.
Were you ever in the mix when Chad Ford was getting called out for going back and impacting like 2-year-old mock drafts and player scouting?
What, was he changing things up?
Yes. He was like, he was boosting his James Harden ranking like significantly more when he went to Houston, and Bradley Beal, I think, got the bump because, you know, just trying to like retroactively, like, oh, if people ever go search these, I was right. And people caught him, like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah,
that's
like
not what you said.
That's like how you get a job in the NFL, right? You have your scouts out there. Now, off to hand in their books, like before the draft, like, hey, we might not listen to you because you're the 10th scout, but hand your book in on what your player ratings were. So then, like, 2 years, they go back, the team, like, hey, you know what? This guy really has an eye for this business. Like, hey, man, you remember I had that? Yeah, no, you didn't. You had this guy ranked 31st. So get out of my office right now. You can't change those things. Now, how about this? Baker Mayfield goes down to the Panthers and buys number 6 off of Johnny Hecker. Spending that cash, ready to be a starter. Come on back. Let's talk about it. Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, right back here on Moneyline, Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh having some fun breaking down some NFL talk here on a Tuesday. Just to keep you guys updated also in Major League Baseball, there is one game that is underway, and that's the White Sox and the Guardians, zeros in the third inning. Heavy favorite here for the Guardians at a minus 205, which I always think is pretty funny there, right? Game opens close at like a 168. There's no score, and it's a minus 205 with a total listed at 5.5. So some interesting topics coming up here with buying of team jerseys, which you always get a kick out of, what you pay for, why you would want it, and how that comes about. Because I got to be honest with you. Now, a jersey number is attached to you for just about your whole life, because usually these guys have worn these numbers for, I don't know, two decades growing up, from peewee football at 5 years old through, you know, middle school football, through high school football, college football, pro football, you get it. So when you're a quarterback and you've always worn number six, you get traded, and you're not a backup, right? We're anticipating Baker Mayfield got traded to the Carolina Panthers. He's going to be the starter. It would look different. Say, hey, Baker, you know what? Number six was taken by the punter. I just took, like, number seven. Usually you'll get that phone call. Most people are, okay, I'll give it to you. Unless it's like, hey, I was just a first-round draft pick. I picked number six as, like, a wideout. I'm not selling you my jersey because I've been number six my whole life. But Johnny Hecker gives it over. I wonder what probably not much he paid for it there, right?
I guess. So the interesting thing, right, like, if you're Baker – he's like, you know what, guys? I wouldn't have had to do anything if you would have came and got me a little bit sooner. Hecker's obviously, everybody's aware, was on the Rams forever, right? I mean, this guy just won the Super Bowl with the Rams.
Yes. Yes.
So, you know what I mean? Like, he was a couple of months away from beating Hecker to the move, to the move, and not having to worry about it at all. I guess good move by Hecker. I'm switching teams. It is what it is there. But I feel like Hecker should be like, hey, listen, man, you're the quarterback. This is your show. You know, if you want six.
And maybe
is yours.
It was just a dinner, right? Maybe it's just like, hey, man, I'll take you and me and my wife, you and your wife, we'll go to the hottest restaurant in town. I'll drop a couple grand down. We'll have a good time. And, you know, that's what it is, as opposed to, well, pay me like $15,000 or $20,000. Because you're right. This isn't like John, it's a punter, right? You're not going after like the all time leading, you know, wide receiver for Carolina and you want his jersey, right? So it's not that point. Like, cause when I was I loved Dan Marino my whole life. So every time I was football, I tried to get number 13. But also, I was usually a quarterback or a running back in peewee football, right? So then you go to high school, sophomore year, I was able to get 13 for varsity. So 13 sophomore year, junior year, and senior year. I went to college. I didn't have any say in college. Like, I was like the ninth, you know, wide receiver on the depth chart, like day one of like my freshman year. So I got number 82, which I wore my entire freshman year. But then, you know, starter. So the next year, I got 13. It was 13 sophomore, junior, and senior year in college. But I do know, like, oh, well, it's just a jersey. Like, no, like, people like their numbers that they've been their whole lives. So I certainly see the point of that where it goes. But I do find it funny sometimes you'll go to a team and the guy's like, well, this is my number my whole. Because chances are you don't just get to the pros. And now you can basically pick whatever number you want, it seems like. You're not just picking like a ray. I was, you know, 22 my entire career at Alabama. So you just give me 26. Like, no, you're probably going to try to get 22 in the pros as well.
Well, what's interesting is you don't think Baker would have wanted the clean start, like the clean break from the number and everything there?
I would.
He's too connected in every way imaginable, huh?
I think if you're looking at numbers for any part of the field, I think the quarterback number is like the most important. Like, that's probably been his number his whole life. Like, quarterbacks usually are the leader of the team. All the way up through. All right, guys, varsity guys first. Like, the quarterback picks his number first. The quarterback doesn't pick, like, 32nd on the team. Like, oh, man, I ended up with 19. You know what I mean? Like, no, he gets 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever he wants, he gets. And that's typically the way the quarterback does it.
So, which is understandable, but a clean break. Like, things, I guess, the thing is he had it at Oklahoma, too, right? So,
yes,
for him, like,
correct.
He views six as, like, his thing forever.
He probably had
always.
It at Texas Tech, too. I forget, but I want to say he was even six at Texas Tech as well. By the way, while you're looking that up, per source, due date for Deshaun Watson post-hearing briefs was moved from July 11th to July 12th. The documents are due in today. Forgot about that.
I forgot. Yeah, come on now.
Wait a second. Pro Football Focus. Get it. And I just looked at that and then I was like, oh, that's right. It's the 10th. No, it's the 12th today. What is that?
So breaking news, they didn't give it yesterday when they were supposed to? I mean, is that the
breaking
news?
From the 11th to 12th, the documents are due today. So the breaking news is actually like a day late. Like, I could have liked that, you know, yesterday or the day before. I just read that and looked down. Wait, it's the 12th. What do you mean we're updated? They're due now.
One of those things where somebody realized, hey, actually, we didn't hear anything about the about that whole, you know, document thing.
The NFL's getting away with it, man, aren't they? They thought everybody was, hey, when is that hearing again? Oh, that's right. You know what? Get your paperwork in today.
Yeah, it's such a, it is really, Donnie, just getting more, it's getting stranger, I feel like, as this process carries on. There really is just not an ounce of urgency around something that I would think they would want cleaned up, done, and settled as quickly as possible. I understand due diligence, but, and they are letting this story, what is the problem now? Is it too much of a dead period now to where it would be the predominant head? Like, it's going to be the main headline. Do they not realize that? Have they not given up on the idea? Like, what's the deal here?
What are they going to break it? Like, oh, everybody's watching the British Open. We can sneak one in here. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's really not happening at this point, where they're waiting for a Friday news dump because they know people are going to watch the British Open at 6 a.m. in the morning. But we're coming to a head here. So if the documents are due today, and I don't know what the briefing process does over the next 24 to 48 hours, but if documents are due, this can't be like we went to court a couple weeks ago, get your documents in, and then we sit on these documents for another few weeks. Like, training camp is opening here. As much as the Cleveland Browns don't want this guy to get suspended, you know, it's probably a little bit more important knowing if he is going to get suspended or not, 100%. And how long it is.
I mean, without question. It's gotten to the point now where they're like, all right, you are suspending him, right? Like, if there's a chance you're not, like, I mean, take your time here, but you're gonna, aren't you? Because if so, we need to know.
Yes.
As soon as possible, please. As you're giving us just... The problem is, though, Donnie, and maybe why that's not the case, kind of what I'm saying here, is they already have their contingency plan. They already know who is going to get the ball. And that, of course, is Jacoby Brissett. It's part of the reason why Baker is gone.
Yeah, it has to come to a head soon. And you're also right. Like, this isn't one of those where, like, hey, you know, when we get it, we get it. You're going to have to schedule press conferences. You're going to have to get up in front of the media. You're going to have to make sure your owners are out of town where they say they can't be in town to answer any questions, like, appropriately. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to, like, right now, like, you're saying to look at, well, I can't schedule 4 weeks of vacation in France. But the minute the NFL goes, oh, next Tuesday, yeah, that's when it's coming down. So your organization is going to be available to the press. Oh, man. Just booked Jamaica. Sorry about that. But I got a little laptop I can try to, you know, Skype you guys over. Because this guy, talking about Jimmy Haslam, he didn't want to be in town when it all went down when Deshaun Watson was introduced. You think he's going to be in town when this thing comes to a head and he gets banged for a full year? Obligations, man. Businessmen on the planet, these NFL owners.
Well, the thing, here's the main difference, and this is obvious for people. Why are they able to, you know, sneak under the radar, if you will? Because there isn't a start date on when they have to go play a football game in front of millions. Yeah. In front of millions. You know, I mean, the reality is people were interested in seeing Watson. Remember when, like, we were excited about Watson being traded to a contending football team and going and maybe competing for Super Bowls? Remember that when that was the vibe and feeling around Deshaun Watson? And it's just so different now. And of course, for, you know, all of the appropriate reasons. I'm just saying, we were always like, man, this is going to be something. This guy out of, you know, Bill O'Brien, and this guy's going to light the league on fire. And I still sit here. I've told this to you. I still sit here unsure if we will ever see him play again in the NFL.
Man, that's going to be wild to watch. I'll tell you what else is wild to watch. A 3-0 lead here by the Cleveland Guardians in the bottom of the third inning as they are getting to Martin now. So updates are in. So the radar is on. The radar is on point right now as we go through. But that is some interesting news here on when we're going to hear for Deshaun Watson, because we are in that holding pattern. And there is no big announcements coming up or other sporting events that are going to overshadow Deshaun Watson and the fallout, good or bad, because, quite frankly, there's going to be two sides to this. People are going to be angry. People are going to be upset. People are going to be happy. But we don't know which way, right? 4 games, not enough. 6 games, not enough. 8 games, not enough. 10, 12, 16, never playing again. We don't know where it's going to go. But I got a feeling. I know how the NFL was talking earlier on. Like, they're not stupid. They leak things to get a sort of vibe from the audience themselves, right? Yeah, we're pushing for a year and then some right now. Ooh, they're really stern. And then, like, 2 or 3 days later, you're like, hey, you know what? If they come back with 4 games, there's not much we can do, which is really interesting to hear because you thought they would have taken that hard stance and then backed it up. Well, if it does get us 4 to 6 games, we are going to fight this tooth and nail to make sure, like, you know, this suspension is appropriate. And it's almost like saying they're signaling the judge that, hey, just wrap this up. We'll be fine whatever way it goes. But if you want to give them 4 to 6 games, go ahead. That's what it sounds like to me.
It's just, it's dragged so long. Like, let me ask you, at this point, Donnie, right? If they go 10 games and that, you know, week 11 start, like, what do you think the vibe is? Like, it's just normal. Like, by week 17, we've moved on from it and he's just a part of the NFL system and people aren't talking about it. Like, is there a world where this can get to normalcy for this guy?
Look, we forget quick in this society. Like, we really do.
Yeah.
He gets knocked down. Because then the other party comes out. He served his time, right? You get those. Like, regardless of what happened. He got suspended. He served his time. Let him come back. And there's something to that because if you do serve and you're good enough to come back, that's what they asked you to do. If you were right, wrong, indifferent, upset about it, or even you say you didn't do it or, you know, you're past this, we do forget a lot. As soon as he plays 1 or 2 football games, it's going to quiet down, except for the pot shot people, which sometimes I'm one of those guys on Twitter that, hey, this guy had a really good game. Well, blah, 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 blah. You know where I'm getting at.
Yeah, like it's interesting, right? Because if he's on the – it's so fascinating because there, of course, are going to be people who rightfully talk about it 24, not 24, anytime he's in the news, this will be kind of what they hearken back to. But if the Browns stay afloat in his absence and it is a week 14 game and they're on Sunday Night Football, yes, some people won't tune in, but, you know, a lot of us will, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, for you and I, what choice do we have? It's our job in some way, right? And again, it just kind of gets to a point of, I don't want to say normalcy, but I think that's why the punishment has to be very harsh. Because it's, I don't know, I don't think you can speed up the process of normalizing this all. And if they go a year, again, folks, you're talking about now 2 full years away for the game for Deshaun Watson. Yet he's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. All right.
Yep, and the NFL will survive one way or another here because, yes, people will still watch. And I know we've heard, Cleveland Browns fans, I'll never watch again. I heard the same thing in Philadelphia when Mike Vick was a Philadelphia Eagle. All these people walking away in droves from the team only to see them win a Super Bowl and probably running up and down Broad Street celebrating it years later. We like to have those, hey, man, I'm not going to do this, only be like, you know, I forgive the guy after this point. So we'll see what happens with Deshaun Watson, but it's coming quickly there also. Quick first hour here on Moneyline. If you want to get involved with us in hour number two, feel the need to do so. 844-843-6879. We'll be right back. It's teaser time.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick segment before you hit the top of the hour here on Moneyline. It's Donnie and Kevin. It's time. Now, it was nice, the whole first part of the show here. So we're going to bring in our great producer here, JP. And first, as always, we're going to say, what did you do yesterday, most importantly? And which way are you looking to go today?
Yeah, I went against you and I took the Marlins yesterday. And that's the first game I bet on I didn't even turn on because I was on the opposite side as you. So that's
what
tough.
Was the final?
6-1, I think.
Yeah, you know what? It got so bad, JP, I turned it off too. I was like, you know, this is money in the bank for me over here. But that's the way it goes sometimes. But now today, a full card all the way across the board. There's a lot of square places. There's a lot of sharp places to go. Which way are we going? Total? Sides? What do we got?
You know, I'm going to say a total now, but open input on it. I'll give my reasoning later, though.
Here we go. So we're looking there total-wise. So we got to pick this one out. Like, I already know. Like, I bet 3 plays already on the board. I always like to save, you know, some of those. But guys already know the T's are out there for me. It was Oakland and Texas. Just digging in right away. Like, I don't even care. Yeah. The lineups aren't even that good, but it's just the fact that both of those pitchers are bad. It's almost like the Spencer Howard start, which he actually went five innings with, what, no earned runs or one earned run and was very good. But you wouldn't know that from a 10-8 final. If you would have just stuck to the notion of, these two pitchers think I'm taking them, that's what I'm doing tonight. I don't even care what the final. I don't care if Otto and Caprillion throw like no hitters through five, but that game ends up with nine runs. I'll take it.
I'll tell you what, with me, because again, I've been just obviously so deep in the strikeout game. But on Saturdays, they're usually, I guess, my freest day. I'll be like, you know, man, I want to get involved with a little bit of overs. And I, Donnie, will go just the most basic. I go, who's got bad ERAs? Both sides of it. Maybe at home road splits. I think I'm almost just looking to go five. Like, I'll never bet an odd amount of them, though. You know what I mean? Like, I think my goal is to go 2-2. But I'll tell you what, Otto Caprillion is one of those where it's like, all right, you know what, this has got to get added to my card. Just when you get two terrible pitchers like that, it's just if either team, again, scores six, you're like, absolutely. Scores five, like seven, yep, sure.
Yeah, and you know what we're going to talk about, too, in hour number two in that first segment coming up? The COVID Phillies. If you didn't realize, there's a team actually being damaged by the COVID-19 vaccines, and it's my Phillies. Come on back.